From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Sunni Shia tensions remain high. Saudi allies Bahrain and Sudan joined Riyadh Monday, cutting diplomatic ties with Iran following an attack that damaged the Saudi embassy in Tehran, part of the international firestorm that resulted from the Saudi execution of 47 people Saturday, including a well-known Shia cleric. There were further anti-Saudi protests across the Arab world Monday, including in Iraq. At the White House Monday, spokesman Josh Earnest called for a de-escalation of tensions, saying they could undermine the nascent Syrian peace process.
One reason that we are hopeful that it won't is that it is so clearly in the interests of both countries to advance a political solution to the situation inside of Syria.
The heightened tensions came in the aftermath of Saudi Arabia's execution of Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, a move defended Monday by Saudi Foreign Minister Adel al-Jubeir.
The Iranians and their allies have been pushing and promoting terrorism and recruiting people, inciting, providing weapons and explosives to people, and Nimr was one of them.
He said Sunni-majority Saudi Arabia would not allow Shia-dominated Iran to undermine his country's security or that of the region. Iran's supreme leader said Sunday Saudi Arabia will face divine vengeance for its execution. Unidentified assailants fired three shells toward the center of Burundi's capital, Bujumbura, Monday, 2 days before peace talks between the government and opposition are set to get underway in Tanzania. At least three people were wounded. Over the weekend, at least three were killed. One witness says one was murdered by a policeman. Bujumbura saw dozens of shootings and bombings during the past year amid protests against President Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for a controversial third term. This is VOA News. Afghan officials say security forces killed all four heavily armed assailants holed up since in a building near India's consulate in the northern city of Mazar-i-Sharif. At least one security force member was killed, nine others wounded. The standoff began late Sunday after the gunman tried to storm the Indian diplomatic mission. An alliance of more than a dozen militant groups called the United Jihad Council, based in Pakistani Kashmir, has claimed responsibility for an attack by heavily armed gunmen on a strategic Indian air base in northern Punjab state near Pakistan. The three-day assault claimed at least 12 lives, including seven security force personnel. There are concerns the attack, coupled with what occurred in Afghanistan, could jeopardize peace talks between Pakistan and India. U.S. authorities say they're trying to end an occupation of a federal wildlife center in the northwestern state of Oregon, where armed anti-government protesters took over the facility Saturday, declaring they're prepared to stay there for years. Ammon Bundy, a spokesman for the protesters, says two ranchers have been treated unfairly by authorities.
Dwight and Stephen Hammond are being forced to report to prison today for a crime they did not commit, and they've been put twice in jeopardy for. They've already served prison time for this already, and now they're being forced to go back again.
The two faced extended prison sentences for setting fires on federal land in the area where they had used to graze cattle. Both ranchers are seeking clemency from President Obama. Bundy said their case is a symptom of what he called a huge, egregious problem happening across the country, with the government imposing too many restrictions on land use and causing economic harm. Yemen's port city of Aden is under a dusk-to-dawn curfew after fighting between anti-government militia and government forces killed more than 20 people. The gunmen fired on government forces who arrived in the city to try to secure the port facilities. The gunmen are believed to be secessionists who joined the government in battling Houthi rebels but are demanding independence in the south. Authorities in northern China are searching for a person suspected of setting fire to a bus Tuesday that killed 14 passengers and left more than 30 others injured. There have been several serious bus fires across China in recent years that have been blamed on arsonists. Zambia plans to hold national elections August 11th. President Edward Lungu, seeking his own first full term, is expected to formally approve a constitutional amendment Tuesday, ratifying the election date. Mr. Lungu's predecessor, Michael Sata, died in office in 2014. Zambia's economy, which has suffered with declining commodity prices, including for its chief export copper, is likely to be a major campaign issue. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.